Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Joining us today is It's Your Health special guest expert, psychotherapist Nancy Dreyfus. Nancy sees herself as a kind of transpersonal scout, helping people let go of external structures that no longer fit and orienting them to what it means to live a life based on their own insides. Nancy is also the author of the incredible book, Talk to Me Like I'm Someone You Love, Relationship Repair in a Flash. An insightful guide and unique tool, Talk to Me highlights the power of written messages to diffuse tension and put an end to conflict, offering both sound advice and more than 100 flashcards for real life that can be utilized in the heat of the moment. Nancy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Hi, Lisa.
Nancy, I'm so glad to have you back on the show again. You are always such a delight. Now, today we're going to be talking about couples where there is minimal to no sex and what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had sent me this very interesting, some interesting information that one-third of American couples in their 30s are no longer having sex. In their 30s.
I know. It's remarkable. And probably the percentage is higher if they have children. It's a phenomenon that people aren't talking about. You know, people are willing to tell you their wild exploits, but they're not willing to tell you because they feel so much shame about it that they haven't made love in months and months and in some cases years. It's extremely common, Lisa.
Wow. Now, why is this happening?
Well, I would say it's a function of couples' busyness and dual career marriages are part of it, but it's a function of a couple not maintaining their association between intimacy and sexuality. At the beginning of a relationship, you were just feeling so close to your partner. You know, you'd swoon when you found out that you both like limes in your club soda. And when you
that's
feel
so true.
That kind of, it's true.
It is. That's why I laugh.
You like lime? I like lime.
Yeah.
Couples, the idea that sexuality should be driven because we remember it to be a pleasurable experience is ridiculous. The way that couples need to reconnect is by having something happen that feels real and connecty between them. And though I can't tell you that a flashcard would completely cure the situation, if one partner held up a message to the other that just said, I miss your touch,
mm-hmm.
Or a message that simply said, this feels so awkward not having sex with you and I don't know what to do about it. I would ask any couple who's dealing with this, and actually couples who aren't dealing with it, to imagine something that not having connected with your partner in a while, somehow you just make a decision to grit your teeth and you're going to go upstairs to the bedroom and make love and imagine what that's like. And then imagine having a conversation with your partner saying how awkward it would be to do that after there's been such a hiatus. And I can promise you that the conversation about awkwardness is going to make you feel a lot closer than jumping into bed with no connection.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it really, you know, there seems like there's just so many things pulling us in so many directions. There's the kids and the work and the BlackBerry and the computer and everything. It just feels like last on the list.
Well, you know, you actually made me think of something. We are in such a busy, efficient world, and people tend to be a little orgasm-centered in terms of their sexuality. So it doesn't dawn on people to say, you know what, let's just lie down and hold each other. Let's just feel our connection. You know, the woman has had a busy day, and she's thinking, oh, my God, do I have the energy to go through with something that's going to take a long time? So that minimal forms of contact and affection, you know, remember how much fun it was making out?
Mm-hmm.
Those sorts of affection get bypassed when we're sort of thinking of the goal. Can I get it done? Can we fit it in? And people aren't thinking, let's just have moments of contact. Let's just neck for 10 minutes. And I would absolutely recommend that people start small if they want to end up big.
Oh, that's a good. I love the word neck. That reminds me of my mother. she used to say, I would go to necking parties in high school, but I would never participate. She was like, I can't believe that.
Yeah, well, a lot of us had mothers with that sort of advice. And you know, as we're talking about this, I've had so many people come into my practice and say, you know, they were even promiscuous when they were in college and when they were in younger sex was, you know, their whole life. Why is it that they're not feeling so much? And I just have to say, I can't tell you all the times that I've heard people say, I'm just not attracted to him anymore. I'm just not attracted to her anymore. And I would say that that's almost complete bull. You're not going to feel attracted to someone that you don't feel safe with. So that I would give no specific sexual advice to anybody. I would have the two of you look at each other and say, how can we just say something that feels true between us? Let's be awkward together. Let's have a conversation about how totally awkward it would be for us to be in bed with each other right now and we haven't done it for 18 months. So that something real begins transpiring between the two of you. That's what's going to catalyze, that's what's going to get your body following your heart.
Yeah, you know, I think that is common. I mean, I would think to hear that you're not attracted, or maybe you're still attracted, but you just don't get the same excitement that you used to get. Do you hear that often?
Yes.
I mean, you're still in love with the person, but you're
yes,
just...
Yes, you are in love with the person, and you may even like the person. And some of that has to do with the fact that at a certain point, couples get into routines. They have figured out something that sort of works, and they keep doing it over and over again. So it kind of gets a little boring. And it's a really awkward thing, and you have to be really careful to tell your partner, this is a little boring. I don't, even I, who am a spokesperson for truth, would not necessarily recommend that unless you were really sure you and your partner could laugh about it. But you need to be willing to say something that feels real and something that feels true. Recently, somebody that I know came to me after they had been to a, you know, actually a pretty well-respected sex therapist, and I couldn't believe it. You know, every therapist has their own perspective. This person recommended lotions and potions and going to a sex toy store. And I, to be honest with you, I have never really seen it work. And then it makes the couple feel really, really impaired. What's wrong with me? That, you know, all these accoutrements aren't really turning me on. I mean, this is the real issue here is, to me, the sex is a red herring. It's that people don't understand that intimacy is a process. And if you and your partner are not consciously working on being in more intimate connection, your relationship is going to stagnate. You are either growing or stagnating. There is really no such thing as the status quo. I mean, there's a status quo for a very short period of time.
Yeah, I think a lot of couples think that, you know, like if you're watching TV and you're scratching each other's back or cuddling and sitting close, that that's enough. And it's nice. But I do think that you need to get back in to the bedroom or wherever else you prefer
to
be. Yes,
I think that you do. And again, you know, at the risk of sounding like a one-note song here, one of the hardest things about my work is I have a hard sell selling people on awkwardness. And so that to be, you make a really good point, because we're not just wanting cozy here. We're wanting something that's more passionate and more physical. And that sometimes you have to be, one person has to be willing to say, let's go back into bed, even if we're a little rusty, even if it feels awkward, even if we miss each other's cues, it's not the end of the world. Let's just get back in the saddle again.
Now, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, now, what's been the response from your patients or your clients after they've, you know, had the awkward conversations and got back in the saddle? And what kind of things have you heard from them?
Well, one of the things they first say is the first thing that comes to them is that they notice they're liking their partners more.
Mm.
They're liking their partners more. They're feeling more positive. They're noticing that tenderness is a very nice entree into sexuality. And they're just doing other things, not just making love with each other. I mean, I had one couple who we started with awkward conversations, and then they decided they'd be awkward on a dance floor together and, you know, called up Arthur Murray.
Oh.
And so there's been just some very exciting things that have been happening, including couples who are discovering a kind of eroticism between each other that they didn't have when they were just sort of in the honeymoon and in excitement phases. In fact, I had one couple say to me, you know, we always thought that making love was better than sex, and that now what we're discovering is that communing is even better than making love. And, you know, I would have to say, you know, maybe I'm a little prejudiced here. I'm 60, and my partner and I joke that 60 is the new 18. But older couples are much less, their bodies don't quite function as quickly or as reliably, and there's a lot more humor and creativity that they tend to bring into bed. I really want to say to men who often come in complaining that their wives don't want sex anymore, that it's not really hopeless. And that what I would say to women is that sometimes you don't have to just absolutely be in the absolute perfect mood, that sometimes there's just something about a willingness to be a good sport that I would also recommend. But I think that couples really need to work on this together. And I don't recommend what a lot of therapists recommend, which is, let's say, rub each other's back or do things very slowly. You shouldn't do anything that really feels mechanical. Don't do anything that goes through that's going through the motions. I would have you do something that feels fresh and new. I would have you sit on the floor back to back and just sway back and forth, rubbing each other's backs, even fully dressed. To just have something where you're feeling you're getting back into rhythm, and then talk to each other about what that's about. Do something that feels quirky and new. I get depressed reading sex books, because sex books, there's no particular thing to do that's universal. It's something that's very specific between two partners. You know, if anybody listening to this has a new partner, and sometimes your old partner is a new partner, people feel awkward that they don't know what to tell their partners what they really like. And sometimes you have to be willing to say, I don't know. So I guess kind of the theme of this, Lisa, is a willingness to go into the unknown, to make sex a being, not a doing, and to acknowledge to your partner, I'm stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is really, really important. That's where your book comes in. You know, talk to me like I'm someone you love, relationship repair in a flash, because you got to get those conversations started, and they can be really difficult.
Right. Well, it would be like probably a woman saying to her partner, you know, I feel badly that we haven't had sex in forever. And I'm afraid that you're so deprived that once we get into bed, it's going to be very fast and very exciting for you, and I'm going to be left in the dust. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a woman who's kind of taking responsibility for herself. I want to get back in the saddle. Could we just lie in bed, and could you hold me?
Yeah. Now, that makes a lot of sense.
In other words, to just really ask for what she needs. And the other thing I just want to say to couples is there are so many couples where there isn't sex and they really, really are thinking there's something wrong with them. And this is why nobody really talks about it. And there is nothing wrong with you that's really not part of the human condition. A couple of years ago, I'm in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Marriage Council had a two-day seminar with 12 continuing education courses for couples therapists. 85% of the couples therapists signed up for the low sexual desire class, and I can promise you it had as much to do with their own relationships than what they were doing with their clients. It was like 85% chose that one workshop. You know, the other 11 went by the wayside.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised. And I think something, at least for me, you know, I mean, I'm 42, I'm almost 43, and I'm in good shape and everything, but I feel like my body's changing in ways that I'm, let's just say, less than thrilled with. I've always been in really good shape and everything, and I think for me, I'm getting a little self-conscious. My husband's like, you're ridiculous, you look fine. And I think a lot of women feel self-conscious, and their husbands think, you look fine, and it's hard for a woman, I mean, for some women, I think, myself included, to accept what's going on with my body.
Well, you know, the underlying thing that you're saying has so much to do with where women's sexuality gets contracted, because it's so much in the eyes of men.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much about responding to what they think men want or don't want. And I would say in the most sophisticated and I would say evolved circles I know, what the basic thinking is that the sexuality should really be initiated by the woman, that it's the man's job to make the woman feel so felt, safe, heard, and understood, that a shift takes place in the traditional dynamic. Rather than giving in to the guy or resisting the guy, she's the initiator. And I would say it makes for a very, very lovely sex life, because the woman is coming from her own energy. so many times women are resisting men, they're resisting being judged by men, or they're giving in. They're either compliant or resistant in relationship to men because they haven't actually found enough of their own sexual energy. And that's another reason why there's a decline in sexuality, because it becomes a subtle, undisclosed power struggle between the man and the woman. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. Well, this has been so fascinating, and I think what's great people come away with, I love the idea of necking. I love the idea of the sitting back to back and not getting caught up with all the toys and a lot of the things that a lot of the sex books say. And again, I really encourage people to get your wonderful book, Talk to Me Like I'm Someone You Love. It is so wonderful, as are you. And how can people learn more about you, Nancy?
It's been lovely talking to you. And I just want to say I was the most uptight teenager. That I am on air right now discussing anything having to do with sex is truly a marvel of the human growth process. Thank you, Lisa.
I was the most naive teenager in the world. I think most of my friends were having sex, and for some reason they felt like they had to protect me. And they tell me now, like, we just didn't feel comfortable. Like, you were so innocent and naive. We just didn't want, and I kind of wish they had talked to me because I felt like I didn't know what was going on.
I know. And that's, it is so common. I mean, what you're saying right now, you are speaking for millions and millions of women and girls who both don't know what's going on or uptight and then feel like they have to pretend otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be a whole nother show because I'd love to, you know, I'm hoping you'll come back on. In August, actually. I'd love to have you on every other month. There's so much to talk about, and you are just such an expert in all of these areas. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And, Nancy, what was your website again?
It's NancyDreyfus, DreyfusDreyfus.com.
Terrific. Well, I hope everyone has a great day. Talk to your partner. Hold up some flashcards. Have a great week. Keep healthy.
And go neck. I'll talk to you later.
That's right. Go neck. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.